The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.
Welcome back to week 14. You know, we all sat here last week on week 13 and we thought maybe the cream would start to rise and we'd have an idea of exactly who's going to get in and maybe there'd be a couple of scragglers out there. And I mean, it is absolutely wide open going into rivalry weekend. Of course, Alabama-Auburn, we'll talk about that game. A&M and Texas, whoever wins that game gets in. And I think everyone I know is on A&M, which scares me a little bit. South Carolina-Clemson, that's a play-in game. Can Notre Dame get tripped up against USC? You got Tennessee Vandy, which all of a sudden is a hell of a ball game. You got Arizona State, who's now in against Arizona. That's turned into a big ball game. K-State, Iowa State, just a plethora of great ball games. Before we introduce everybody, Kai, give us the numbers from last week. We were on fire.
Last week was crazy. Friday, 10-2. Saturday, 10-4. Sunday, 3-1-1. So 25-7-1 last weekend, 78%. Last week, 35-10-1, 77%. Just on fire, especially this late in the season, you know, picking and posting the right games. Year to date, 299, 162, and 14, 64.8%. I mean,
that's fantastic.
Where is my Lamborghini?
That's and it's funny because
I looked in the driveway. You guys haven't delivered it yet.
Most people I know do not post their own plays, and I'm thinking to myself, why the hell have I not played these ball games? Because we're all superstitious in a way. Case is the only one that's probably making bank on these things. So because he's right there in Las Vegas, so great stuff. He is Case Kiefer. He's the chief editor for the Las Vegas Sun. Has been doing handicapping for years and years. His old man Kip Kiefer down there in the lower left hand corner. If you're looking at the Brady Bunch, he's my good friend. The starting lineup, 10:30, 11 o'clock every Saturday morning, ABC 3340, not to mention on Talk 99.5, on Jocks 94.5. He's all over the place. He is the man. Also, of course, chief executor and executive director of the Birmingham Racecourse Casino. And we've got this man, Kai Gregory, who's just been in the business on both sides of the fence now for nearly 30 years. He knows what he's doing. I'm Tony Curry, of course, on Sports Radio ESPN for about 20 or 30 years. Let's jump into it, man. There's no time to waste here. First of all, Oregon, Ohio State, Texas, Penn State, Notre Dame. You're looking at those top five games or top five teams in the lineups. And of course, Indiana's still in the mix. I'm a little surprised they're number 10. Any games or any teams that you saw there for the CFP that just came out yesterday that were a little surprising to you? Or do you think they're just setting it up and you're going to let them play it out? Case, let's go to you.
Oh, this is anything betting's my specialty. The whole rankings thing, I'm terrible radio for this. I just don't care. I want to know when the games are set. I'm going to set my numbers and fire on them. I can't even tell you the rankings, to be honest. I've been such a busy college basketball time. I was really immersed in college basketball. And aside, I might also just be taking it back. I don't think I've ever in my life seen Kip wearing a jersey. It looks really good today.
So there you go. Yeah, there you go.
Alternate, but I don't know how I'm going to concentrate. I've never seen him in those threads before.
It's my Golden Knights jersey from the Winter Classic last year, which is a collector's item. But thank you. I appreciate that. I just felt like doing something different today.
Well, you are.
It might be a lead in to him playing Vandy also.
Yeah, it could be.
I'm not going that direction. That V is not for Vandy.
Kip, you are a classic for sure. And I look at, you know, Indiana number 10. It seems like they're still giving them a shot. It's funny because when a lot of teams got that second loss, the Weaver thought they were out or there's no way they could get a third. Now it appears that maybe a three-loss team will actually get in the top 12. What do you think?
It could happen. You know, Indiana needs to be there. I was actually proud of the committee for the first time in this process that they had the guts to say, well, you know, because a lot of people have been apologizing for Indiana. They played well. They were it was a gallant effort. They got blown out just like we said they were going to get blown out. They made special teams mistakes. Well, correct me if I'm wrong. Is that not part of football? I don't see an alibi. I think this is a really good team. I think they've had a great season, but I think they're about where they belong now. And of course, in the true tradition of the Big Ten, they have a rigorous matchup with Purdue, who Case declared on this show 2 weeks ago the worst Power Four team in America. So that's not going to be a very good game. So Indiana's pretty much got their place stamped in the playoff. And I don't begrudge that, but the fact that they were still ranked where they were, and I know Case and I are contentious on this, Penn State, the sacred cow, is still at number four, despite beating mighty Minnesota by 1 point. They didn't drop in fact, they went up. No, I guess they were four last week. But the point is, Penn State has not beaten a top 25 team. Texas has not beaten a top 25 team. So my beef is not just with the Big Ten. I think the committee did a better job this week of looking at who teams have played and where they've played. But, you know, come on, I'm on Case's team right this week. Let's just line them up and play the games.
Someone had PJ Fleck in Minnesota plus the 16 last week is one of his major plays. Thank you very much. Kai,
Tony Curry had
Kai.
I liked Minnesota last week too. I guess we're just never going to agree on Penn State. I've been really impressed by Minnesota this year. I mean, they've covered, I think, five of the last six games. Their only loss was like by less than a touchdown. That was a tough game to go in there and pull it out. And I don't know. I mean, like I said, I don't care about the rankings, and I don't think Penn State's going to win the national championship, but I think they're a good team, and that was a solid win to me.
I got to ask Kai too, his Tennessee squad sitting there number eight. And right now, if they started the playoffs, they'd be playing Georgia. I don't think anyone wants to see Tennessee, Georgia in the first round of the game, because I think both people think that both these teams
in can go Athens. Along.
In Athens, yeah. Your thoughts on that, Kai, real quick. Are you happy the fact you're just in right now? And really, you control your own destiny.
I think they got to go to Vandy, and that's what they should be worried about, not the rankings. I really couldn't care less about the rankings. I do think, I agree, Indiana should be there. I think Indiana has a get-right game this weekend. It's minus 29 right now when we're recording this show. You know, on Wednesday afternoon, it'll probably go up, but I would hammer Indy probably all the way up to 35. I think Purdue sucks. And I think Indiana has to make a statement to stay in. I think that's something like a 58 to 12 game.
That scares me whenever I hear a bettor say they need to make a statement, because, I mean, it's hard enough to win a college football game on any given Saturday. Now you're telling me I have to win by 35, and it normally doesn't happen. With that being said, we've got a great game in the SEC, A&M in Texas. The winner goes the SEC championship game. The thing that I think is interesting about this is everyone's playing A&M for the same reason. A&M must win this game to get in, because if Texas loses, they're probably still in. They don't need to win this game. Case, what does Vegas say about this? And what are your thoughts? Because everyone I know is taking the 6.5.
Yeah, well, I'm not. Probably no big surprise.
There you go.
I'm on Texas. I will say, though, it's weird this week. I always forget about them, and I actually forgot what I was betting. But I have so many win totals going down. I actually do have some Texas under 10.5. It had a plus price. So if they lose, not the end of the world. I ran into that the other night. I bet Toledo, and I was all mad because I hate Toledo, worst coach team in the nation. They lost. I was like, oh, I had Akron over 3, so I basically broke even on the game.
The Mac has been hard to watch this year. I got news for you.
How many people listening to this show or on this planet Earth had Akron over 3 wins or a bet on Akron on anything?
Raise your hand, please.
That's just an aside. But I just the Vegas, the bettors seem to be on the Texas A&M side too. This number's come down. I saw a lot of sixes earlier in the week, maybe a 6.5, and that's now pretty much 5 across the board. And I get it to an extent. You know, if you're betting on spots, or, you know, Texas A&M has a great home field advantage, that's going to be the most raucous environment ever. I think I've praised Mike Elko throughout the year on this show. I do think I probably trust him more to make the better in-game decisions. But God, you just look at the talent, the players on the roster. I just feel like Texas has such a personnel advantage, and I think it would just be a major squandering for them to lose this game. I do think Texas A&M is going to get theirs. I think they will be in an SEC championship game eventually. Like I said, I think highly of Elko, but I still feel like this is kind of a transitional year, and they've gotten a little bit too much credit. Maybe I'm dead wrong and the spot prevails, but I just think Texas's personnel is so much better.
I cannot believe a team that just lost the Auburn Tigers have a shot at making the SEC championship game. I see your I see your horns up there, Kai. What are you saying, man?
I feel the same. I think that, you know, I think Elko's a good coach. I just think that Texas has been very methodical this year. And except for one game, Sarkisian has done a very good job of calling the plays that are working. He's not worried about getting fancy. He's not worried about winning by 30. He's not worried about necessarily making a statement. He's worried about winning. And that's what they need to do. I think he calls it off. I know it's at home for A&M. It's a rivalry and all that. Don't care, Texas. And I think they win by at least 7.
Kip, what you think?
I got to go the other way. Of course, I know everybody's going to be shocked with that. But I was impressed with the fight in Texas A&M. I called for an Auburn win last week. I said they'd win straight up. They were my upset pick on the starting lineup or our television show. Auburn jumped to a 21-0 lead. Texas A&M fought back, really took control of the game. I just like the spirit on this team. I like Marcel Reed. I like the fact that they have kind of come back from losing Moss, their best running back. I just think all the emotions on their side. And, you know, I will retract that statement if I see Texas come out and play a really spectacular game, because they've only played one team all year and it was at home and they lost by 16 points and it wasn't that close. The unfortunate call in that game just made it closer, which was actually a good thing, because they would have been blaming that penalty for years if they had lost. But I don't know. Texas has beaten, they completed the Royal Flush, the great straight flush. They beat, their wins in the SEC are against the 11th place, the 12th place, the 13th place, the 14th place, the 15th place, and the 16th team in the standings. They beat the six bottom feeders. They only played one of the top 10. It's unbelievable. They got to show me.
I think this is
did what they were supposed to do. They did what Alabama did not do last week. They beat the teams they're supposed to beat on their schedule.
I think Kip is speaking like a true Georgia fan, because Georgia's a 10.5-point favorite against Texas A&M right now in the SEC championship game, and they're a 2-point favorite against Texas. So if I was all Georgia, I'd be all Texas A&M is winning. Let's go, because Georgia would crush this team, in my opinion.
And I'll tell you, that's the one thing, too, by looking at those 12 teams last night, it is as wide open as I've ever seen. I still think that Ohio State and Georgia are the two best teams in college football. They may not be ranked like it. Ohio State 3-1 to get right in. They should win the thing, but I have a feeling they're not going to get it done. And this may be one of those years where you may have a Boise State surprise somebody or something. I don't know. It's kind of crazy.
I think big picture, I know people have just totally glossed over it now because they've killed everyone, but I really think these offensive line injuries are going to be crippling for Ohio State against these SEC teams. I think Ohio State, you could convince me they're the best team in the nation, no doubt, but they've lost three guys now, their center, their left tackle, another tackle. I just feel like the trenches are going to be a problem in one of these games.
You may be right. Let's go to the Iron Bowl. We got to get it in because we're a local show, and of course, this is played all over, not only the country, but all over internationally as well. Auburn, Alabama. Alabama has won the last four games. They haven't lost in Tuscaloosa in 14 years, and I thought it was really interesting. The last 10 games in this series, over, under, which means it should go under the next two. If you're just into that trend kind of thing, it's 52.5, but Alabama's given up 11.5. Kip, based on what I saw from Milroe and that offense last week, and I liked Auburn going into this game, but I saw it at 15.5, now 11.5. What do you think?
Gosh, I mean, this is the hardest game to forecast the entire week. Case talks about rosters being better. Alabama's unquestionably better than Auburn. Auburn's coming on, has done some good things. I like that they gritted out the win against A&M, but I still have just burned in my mind Peyton Thorne, although he played gallantly down the stretch to pull that game out. I still think Peyton Thorne, Hugh Freeze. I know everybody's down on Kalen DeBoer and Jalen Milroe, but I like the Alabama duo a hell of a lot more than the Auburn tandem. So I would be very hesitant and very nervous to give up 11 points, but I think Alabama's going to win the game, and I think they're going to win it handily.
All right, Kai, what you got?
You know, I really like this spot for Alabama. You got Alabama coming off probably their worst performance of the season, maybe in 20
years. Maybe
you got
in 10 seasons. Yeah.
A huge home win. You know, a couple of things in there. So that trend sets up really nicely for Alabama. You have Peyton Thorne, who is a quarterback that can run, not a running quarterback, that's going to come in and I think can do something maybe against Alabama. But to me, the weaknesses that both teams have, the DBs versus the wide receivers, I give, you know, Coleman and Williams, the two freshman receivers, one for Alabama, one for Auburn, good. You know, I think if Milroe runs, I think Alabama absolutely hammers Auburn.
That's what we were hoping for last week, and it just didn't happen. The lanes did not open up, and they just shut him down. I was really surprised by that, Case.
Yeah, I will say, I mean, last week we actually, all three of us, I don't remember where you were, Tony, but Kai, Kip, and I were all on the same page of both Oklahoma and the Auburn games. We weren't betting the Oklahoma Alabama game. I think we said it could go a lot of ways, and it did. And we all liked Auburn to win, so we cashed that one. And who knew we were going to be in the consensus here too? I love Alabama in this spot. I know it's not easy to lay that many points with the team coming off this, but I made a huge adjustment. I'm going to look stupid on the starting lineup on my segment this week. I kind of tried to go a little bit through my process and how I price games. Luckily, I said, you know, this is without a data point, so it's going to be a lot different. But, you know, a week ago, I made Alabama a 17.5-point favorite in this game. Wow. I made a huge adjustment after they lost to Oklahoma. I still can only possibly get to 14. They're still getting 3 points at this part of the season. I mean, if I made it 17.5 a week ago, a 6-point move is just too much. I feel like this is a get-right spot for the Tide, too. So we're all in agreement. Hopefully, we can make it 2 weeks in a row. I like Alabama. I'd lay the points here.
Really interesting ball game, because 2 or 3 weeks ago, this game meant nothing to Dabo Swinney and the Clemson Tigers. Now, all of a sudden, both of these teams have something to play for. Obviously, the rivalry for South Carolina. Clemson, they lose the first game of the year to Georgia, and I mean, they got manhandled 34-3, and everyone's like, okay, this is not going to be the same thing. And all of a sudden, people are like, you need to go to the portal. Why aren't you getting the transfers, Dabo? What are you doing? Next thing you know, he's rolling into this game, and he's got a great shot to make the playoffs if he can knock off South Carolina as a 2.5-point favorite. Kip?
I'm sorry. I'm an SEC guy, but I like Clemson in this game. I don't understand all of this. It's a play-in game. South Carolina's got to have a great chance to get in the playoff. What happened to the stigma of three lost teams? Alabama and Ole Miss are sitting there at three losses. Alabama beat South Carolina. Ole Miss slaughtered South Carolina. South Carolina has beaten Missouri and Vanderbilt, and now they're the hottest team in the country. I don't buy it. I know South Carolina has a lot of great pieces. That the defensive line is dominant. Lenora Sellers getting better and better. I think Clemson at home beats them, and even if South Carolina finds a way to win, if Alabama and Ole Miss are sitting there with three losses and they both beat South Carolina this year, I don't understand this sentiment that South Carolina deserves a playoff spot because they beat Missouri and Vanderbilt.
Guy, the only thing I say about Clemson right now is they are incredibly banged up on both their lines right now, and so I don't know what's going to happen against that SEC lineup of the South Carolina.
They suck in 11 o'clock games at home.
They do.
Clemson historically sucks in 11 o'clock games. I think that defense is going to get all after Klubnik. I don't think I would play this game, me personally, because they are so banged up. If I did, I would go with South Carolina just because, and that's probably SEC homerism by me, because I can't stand Beamer. I just think he's almost, to me, as irritating as Drinkwitz from Missouri. So, I mean, those two coaches get on my nerves more than any coach out there. I believe that if I had to play it, I'd go that way. But I don't like Clemson at home at 11.
Okay. You didn't like the 11 o'clock feel. And, of course, that's 9 o'clock Pacific time, Case.
Yeah, I bet South Carolina money line plus 125. If you like the Gamecocks, I would tell you to look for the money line. I don't think the 2.5 points are really going to matter. I think I labeled it a lean in my column at LasVegasSun.com too. So not one of my stronger sides. I don't know. I've just not liked this Clemson team all year. I always pick against them. I've just simply been more impressed by South Carolina. I agree with Kip's sentiments. I don't think that either team should probably be in the playoff regardless, but I don't know. This is a tough one, but I lean South Carolina.
I know there's one other ball game I wanted to mention too, and of course it's been going on forever and ever and ever. Notre Dame and USC. USC has not lost to Notre Dame since 2000 by double digits at home. I think they're catching 7.5 in this particular ball game, and everybody and their mother seems to be on USC in this game. Maybe because they like USC or because they hate Notre Dame, but everyone loves to bet against Notre Dame. Case, you're down there shaking your head. I know you got
one of my biggest bets of the week, Notre Dame. I think we were all three on USC last week, and I'm super happy we won, but we got extremely lucky. Georgia dodged a bullet, and I think USC is having some buyer's remorse with Jaden Maiva. He looks just lost. He looks terrible out there. I mean, he should have had multiple interceptions. I know there's a sentiment around UNLV when he left that it's not that big of a deal, that they didn't really love him. They thought they could have better quarterbacks to fit their system. And I was thinking, oh, yeah, right. You're disappointed you lost out on a quarterback that USC and Georgia were bidding for. But I really think there's problems with this offense right now. I think Miller Moss has one foot out the door. If USC came out this week and said Miller Moss is starting, I'd be extremely worried, and I'd probably be tempted to be on USC. But if you've watched this Trojans team at all, I could see passing on Notre Dame and not liking the spot, but I can't see putting your hard-earned American dollars on Jaden Maeva right now.
No, and I mean, for some reason, USC, for some reason, feels sexy this year. I'm not sure why. I really don't. Maybe it's just because it's USC. They're always kind of sexy. South Carolina.
They're a 500 team.
Yeah.
I mean, Quesos, American dollars, I wouldn't put pesos or francs on them either. But this is just such an interesting game because it's always kind of a national rivalry game. It would be very ironic if USC was able to rise up as a 7.5 point underdog and win the game. Notre Dame clearly on paper is better, but it's an intriguing matchup, but I don't trust Lincoln Riley against anybody.
And the first time in a long time, quite frankly, Notre Dame's strength of schedule has been the lowest as it has been this year.
It's terrible.
They haven't played anybody either. And I actually had Army plus the 14.5 last week, and I was on the wrong side of that. I just thought they'd keep it straight, but I was pleasantly surprised that Notre Dame, listen, it's all on Notre Dame's defense, Guy. I mean, if their defense plays well, they're going to win the football game.
I'm going to say Dominus Ominous, touchdown Jesus, Notre Dame big.
There you go, Notre Dame big. Do we even want to mention Ohio State, Michigan? I got a friend of mine, actually, it's my brother who lives, he works for Mattel Corporation in Columbus, and he said if Ohio State loses this game to Michigan, and yeah, I know they're favored by 20.5, we've seen it happen before, Coach Rye's gone. He's done.
And
that's with two losses and probably going.
He's right.
And probably going to the playoffs.
It's a revenge game. Ohio State, huge.
Yeah. As a two loss team, they will get into the playoffs, but they're going to fire their coach over it.
Big picture, I think, Michigan now seems like they have their war chest in place. They have so much money flowing in there. I don't think you're going to be a 20.5 point favorite in this game for a long time.
Ever for so years.
This year, which I do not think they will. I agree. I think he's gone.
I don't think they're going to lose, but I'm not going to give three touchdowns. Case just talked about the Ohio State offensive line. The only strength Michigan has is their defensive front. To me, that negates a 21-point line. I think Ohio State will win, but I don't think this is going to be a blowout. I just don't see it.
All right, let's go around the horn here. We got a few minutes left here. K4 Wins. Remember that, K4 Wins. Very easy to remember, K4Wins.com. For all of our plays, we're hitting 64.8%, over 70-something percent this last weekend. It's been crazy. We do hoops. We do NBA. College hoops is really, really hot right now. We do hockey, NHL more. And, of course, we're going to be here for you during college football and the NFL playoffs as well coming up here starting in the next few weeks. Kip, let's start with you. What's bugged out to you? We just went through a boatload of games. Any other games that are tipping you off today?
I've got in the Mack Brown Farewell Bowl. I've got North Carolina to cover at home. I think the players like him. Any fan of North Carolina can't possibly like him because he should never have been back the last couple of years. But North Carolina State might be the most disappointing team in the country. They were actually ranked to start the season. They stink. And I just don't see them putting up much of a fight in this game. So I give me the Tar Heels. Miami has given up 10.5, according to my latest numbers, at Syracuse. I don't think they are going to lose to the Orangemen, but Syracuse is a weird team that seems like they jump up and bite teams when they're really not expecting it. Getting 10.5, Miami's got all the pressure in the world on them. Syracuse has nothing to lose. I'll take those points. And the only other game I got on my list, and you mentioned it in the open, Tony, there's a four-way tie right now in the Big 12, and I think Kansas State might be better than all four of those teams. Mm-hmm. They're playing at Iowa State. They're a slight underdog. Iowa State has righted the ship the last couple of weeks and won a couple games against a lesser competition. I'm so unimpressed with the four finalists in the Big 12 that I think Kansas State's got a lot of incentive just to prove that they've had a couple bad bounces and a couple tough losses and didn't show up in some spots, but I really like the Wildcats to beat Iowa State.
Kyle, what you like?
I mean, there's so many games we haven't even talked about. We didn't talk about Oklahoma LSU. We hadn't talked about Washington, Oregon. We hadn't talked about
Talk about it. Throw it out there. Do it.
I mean, one of my favorite plays of the weekend is Arkansas and Missouri. Brady Cook, it looks like he's back healthy. I love the over in that game. Luther Burden, probably his final game in college, or at least there. So really liking that. Taylor Green's gone over 3,000 yards passing or total this year. Arkansas has never won in Columbia. So if I play the side, I'm playing Missouri. But there's that. I think UAB might have figured something out last week. And maybe they come back and they cover the three. you know, against Charlotte. Maybe, maybe not. Who knows? I don't want to give them
Charlotte too much sucks. Credit. They're terrible. They're terrible.
You know, Oklahoma off their huge win, LSU kind of limping into the game after their game against Vandy. You know, I'm waiting because I think there's a lot of other games that are better. But, you know, looking at that, I think Georgia absolutely steamrolls Georgia Tech. I know we've been talking about it. You don't give up 19 in a rivalry game. But unless the two hanging from Georgia Tech can just cut it loose, then I like Georgia in that spot. You know, something like a 32 or 35-10 game. You know, there, I'm jumping on the bandwagon with y'all. I like Kansas at Baylor. I've been against Kansas the last 2 weeks. And, you know, fool me once, shame on me. Fool me twice, shame on you. Fool me three times, I'm an idiot. So I'm going with them. But, you know, I love SMU this weekend. I like Syracuse at home catching the 11 versus Miami. I really do. I think McCord can go crazy against that secondary. So there's that. Like I said, I like Indy. I like Notre Dame. I like UTSA and Army over as well. And then Tennessee, I'm going to root for my team. But I want to see what the final release comes out Saturday on Pavier, because if they go to the backup, they're probably going to run the option. And Tennessee has been susceptible to running quarterbacks, and that's what scared me when they played Alabama, but Milroe didn't run. Pavier can run. If they go to the backup, they're going to run an option, and then I take Tennessee if I'm waiting late. And, of course, you know, we have Thursday NFL games, which I can't find here on my sheet, but I'm loving Detroit over their team total Thursday. And who in the world knew Dallas would be favored against anybody anymore this year? I mean, I guess they got right.
Oh, the Giants. Awful game for Thanksgiving. Yeah,
it doesn't mean they're going to win.
Thursday night, we got Miami and Green Bay, so we're good.
There you go. Case, what's jumping at you? Give me your best bets.
It sounds like I'm mostly agree here. I actually bet two of three of Kip's sides for maybe a first in the show. I definitely like Kansas State, and I agree. I mean, what a missed opportunity for the state of Kansas this year. I really, in my heart,
both those teams,
Kansas State and Kansas, are the two best teams in the Big 12. If we ran the season back starting today, they weren't that way at the beginning of the year. I think Kansas struggled with losing Colton Dickey to Penn State. The game I disagreed on, I think Kip, it's the holy trinity of top teams that Kip and I disagree on: Penn State, Texas, and Miami. And it's not only Kip doing this, but I've just heard so much about how bad Miami's defense is that I think we're missing the plot of just how off the charts good this offense has been. Offense in the country. And it's a lot easier to turn around your defense. Now they're coming off a bye week. I'm not saying they're going to be great, but I wouldn't be surprised if they're decent. I laid 10.5 there with Miami, but again, agreed on the Kansas State and North Carolina ones. Some of the bigger bets I made looking here, how about a Friday game? I like Nebraska +6 against Iowa. Iowa's down to a walk-on quarterback, and I know there's some hype there because he tore apart Maryland last week, but if you've ever watched any of Kip's other show, including the starting lineup, I pick against Maryland constantly because I have the lowest opinion possible. Locksley,
their coach,
they're never prepared, so I really downgrade them for that. Nebraska, on the other hand, even though they blew the game and got jokes made about them 2 weeks ago, their offense has looked way better since Dana Holgerson's taken over. This line's way too long for me, and there hasn't been a whole lot of action on it, so I'm wondering if I'm missing something. But I like Nebraska in that spot, certainly. And one other aside, Kai kind of mentioned the game LSU Oklahoma. Whatever happened to we're having an epidemic of sportsmanship in the SEC. I complained last week Texas kneels instead of covering against Arkansas. What the hell was that by Brian Kelly, who needs brownie points more than anyone? He kneels out the clock instead of covering against Vanderbilt. Give me a break. It's back-to-back weeks I've lost on kneels. James Franklin would never do that. This is why you can lay big numbers with Penn State against crappy teams. Hail the Nittany Lions. The sportsmanship's gone too far. But anyway, I don't understand how last week everyone hated LSU. This team's quit. Money flowing in against them. They have one, you know, kind of tepid performance against Vanderbilt where they didn't try to cover again. Not that it's a sore subject or anything. Now this week, it seems like everyone's on them. There's money coming in on them. I kind of like Oklahoma here. I would take still 1.5 out there. I don't know. I think Oklahoma kind of gets a boost from last week. I love this defense. Just seems like the the perception on LSU is flipping wildly week to week. And I think it's probably somewhere in the middle, but I made this like 3.5, 4. So 6.5, enough for me to get involved on Oklahoma.
All right. Trent Dilfer had a fusion on his neck and people are like, what is he going to get fused next? Because every time he has a fusion, he seems to win football games, albeit only 3 games this year. If he wins this game against Charlotte, and Charlotte sucks, they're 4-7. He's going to be 4-8, which means he's got back-to-back 4-8 seasons. He's safe for next season. He loses this game, he may get let go. I don't think he will. By the way, I'm no longer doing the Inferno. I'm out. It's hard to talk about a 2-8 team week in and week out. I can't do it anymore, but I'm going to take the Blazers plus the 3 because I do think Charlotte's really bad. On the other side, South Florida, one of the squads all year long, the number's been inside 7. A lot of people pick South Florida, the Bulls. They're on the road and they're only giving up 5.5 to Rice. I saw the team live. That team is horrible. Their quarterback's terrible. Anything under 7, I'm going to take South Florida on the road. I know the Bulls don't particularly play well on the road, but I'm going to take South Florida minus the 5.5. I'm going to go with Clemson just because I'm going with coaching. I think Dabo has had a resurrection. They keep playing that, hey, listen, if you're buying stock, buy us now. Well, I bought late last year, and right now it's going to pay off. It's a penny stock. It's going to go. If he knocks off South Carolina, he's going to be getting in. And, of course, my son goes to Clemson, and all year long he's like, I can't believe we don't have a shot of playing in the playoffs. So, like, hold out, man. Just see what happens throughout the season. They're going to make the playoffs by knocking off South Carolina. I'm going to go A&M just because the number seems to go that way. I like the fact they actually lost in a 4 overtime game to Auburn. I think they've got something left over. I don't think Texas is going to lose the game, but I don't think they're going to cover the 6.5. And I'm going to go that over. I'm going to take the under. I think Alabama and Auburn are two teams, believe it or not, that are in disarray. I don't think there's any leadership on the Alabama squad, and I sure as hell don't think that DeBoer is that leadership on that squad. I'm not saying he's not going to be a great coach, not win a national championship down the road. Hugh Freeze, I don't care if he's got the number one recruiting class for the next 3 seasons. His team is not good.
And but, it's not the number one recruiting class. That's a lie.
It's not. And the crazy thing about Auburn is if you look at any of their RPIs or any of their numbers, they're a lot better than what they're playing. They're a lot better football team what they're playing. And a lot of people don't believe that line should be nearly what it's at 11, 12. But I do think they're going to feel each other out. We just saw a lot from Alabama. And you just mentioned, what is it, 20 years since they scored 3 points in a ball game? Alabama can't find their offense. They don't know what to do with Milroe. And I think they're in a situation where they're snake bit a little bit. I think they're going to go into this game, and I think they're looking behind them a little bit. They haven't lost the last 4 ball games. That last one, 48-45 back in 2019, and Auburn's playing for everything. And of course, if I'm going to take the dog, I'm going to take the under 52.5, the under 52.5 game. I think I can see like a 20-17 game in that particular game right there. Real quick, any pros real quick, before we move on, because it's getting down the nitty gritty in the pros as well. We still got a third of the season to go, but it's starting to get clear for all of us. Kai?
But you get 3 games on Thanksgiving. Like I said, I like Detroit over their team total in that game. The Green Bay-Miami game, I think I want to see the weather before I make a final decision, obviously, but I think that game goes over. I have fallen in love with what Green Bay is doing offensively and defensively. I love the way they're running the ball. Jordan Love is actually coming out there and managing and winning. So he's doing a lot of things he's supposed to do. And then, you know, I hate it. Case probably didn't like this, but, you know, the Chiefs are just doing enough to win in games they play Friday night. But I think Vegas just sucks. So I got to go Kansas City minus the 12 in that game also. And then we'll see what happens Sunday.
Case, what you got?
Yeah, I'll say I have no allegiance to the Raiders. I just cover them professionally. And I actually think I agree with Ty. I think this is a good spot. I know no one's going to want to back the Chiefs. They don't blow out anyone. I think they blow out the Raiders this week. The Raiders are so beaten up, and I know it hasn't been widely reported because no one cares about the Raiders, but the media, including myself, spoke with Aiden O'Connell yesterday, who's going to have 1 practice back before this. They lost Gardner Minshew to a collarbone injury. The plan was to start Minshew at least 1 more week and then see Aiden O'Connell even yesterday said he's not 100%. He hasn't practiced yet. I think if there's ever a spot for the Chiefs to get a blowout, it would be here. Thanksgiving Day, some interesting, I don't know what's going on. I don't know if there's an injury or what, but a lot of money has come in on the Bears since we've been on the show down to 8.5. To me, wow. That would seem like I wouldn't mind laying that short of a price with Detroit. I'm interested in this Green Bay-Miami game too. This is another one that seems a little short to me in the elements. I mean, Miami's playing great. But I think three is a little short with Green Bay, but there has been a lot of sharp interest in the Dolphins there. It hasn't gone well when I weigh in on Tony's team, but I'm going to not pander to him here, as I really do like it. It's my biggest bet of the week. I'm laying 2.5 with the Bengals. I think the Mike Tomlin voodoo is over. They've entered the tough part of their schedule. This pass defense has not been very good, despite playing a weak slate of opposing offenses. Now they got Burrow, Chase, and Higgins off a bye week. I know they had a mini bye themselves, but I think this should be higher than 2.5. So I've got Cincinnati there. I feel like I've been really chalky so far. So let me see if there's any underdogs. I like, on Monday Night Football, especially if it gets back to 6, I like the Browns at the Broncos. I think it's about time to jump off the Broncos train. I've been riding it too. I think this is one thing as a better. You always got to know when to come off. It brings us back to the Iron Bowl. I know. I think Tony said he was opposite, but I've picked Auburn like 6 straight weeks on this show, on Kip's show. I've been riding Auburn. Like I said, they are better than what they had shown early in the year, but I just feel like this is way too far of an adjustment. I think Alabama's a much better team than them. And one other thought on what Tony said. I can't believe the story I read about Dabo today. It seems like he's finally seeing the light. He said, now that it's not NIL anymore, it's going to be more revenue sharing. He likes it. He's all for players getting paid now. I thought Clemson was done and buried. I was ready to throw dirt. I thought they're going to have like 2 more good years and then middling. I don't know. Maybe now Dabo's seeing the light, they have a chance.
Kansas City's Kansas City's won 8 games this year. It's the most games since 2011. 8 games by less than 6 points. They do just get by. They're a fun team to watch, but good teams win close ball games. Kip, do you have anything in the NFL you want to throw out there real quick?
Two 5-star locks. Take them to the bank. Locks to win the game. The Washington Commanders, who are really the Washington Redskins, have found a way to lose in most incredible fashion the last 2 weeks. The draw them offside worked against them, against Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh executed that, and the announcer said, "Well, that'll be a learning experience for the young man." For God's sake, he's in the National Football League. A learning experience. He's not in fourth grade. That was ridiculous. And last week, of course, they gallantly come down the field, tie the game. Well, they didn't tie it. They missed the extra point and then had the onside kick run back. They're playing the Titans. Will Levis, who I've been calling a phony since the day he stepped on the campus of Kentucky, give me the Commanders and the Falcons, who have been dreadful on their 2-game road trip, which everybody should have probably seen coming. They come home and play the Chargers, traveling all the way across the country on a short week. The Falcons will right the ship somehow and beat the LA Chargers on Sunday. Commanders, Falcons, take it to the bank.
And I'll hop on that Cincinnati Bengals too. I hate playing my own team at the 2.5 number, but only because every game now is a must win. And I can't believe Joe Burrow should be the MVP of the National Football League, and they're not even going to sniff him because their record sucks so bad. But I do think the bye week was good, and I think T. Higgins wasn't. I think he was 75-80%. It's amazing to me they got Jamar Chase, who I think could be the MVP as well. He's probably the offensive player of the year. But whenever T. Higgins is out, man, he's going to get centered 14-15 times. But when T. Higgins plays, man, that team's just a different team. It's just a different team. It's another set of hands. I know he's really good, but it's amazing what one more wide receiver can do to a football team. Great stuff. K4wins.com. K4wins.com. Check him out. Make some cash for the holidays. Thank you, gentlemen. Appreciate you.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.